Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today, I want to talk about decluttering hotspots. Do you know what a hotspot is? So a hotspot is basically anywhere that paper things accumulate. I have a friend who, when our kids were little, she had a lot of hotspots and she was getting ready to move. And she said, in the new house I move into, all of the tops of everything are going to be at an angle so that if you go to set anything down, it's going to fall right on the floor so that there can't possibly be any hotspots because I won't have any flat surfaces in my entire house. And I laughed, but I think about that often. She also said she was going to make her bathrooms out of Teflon so that toothpaste didn't stick to anything. She's a brilliant friend. That's all I have to say about that. Hotspots: the top of your dresser, the bathroom counter, the kitchen counter, wherever you drop everything when you come in, the laundry room, the garage, your bedroom, places where little piles of, you get the room clean and organized, and the next thing you know, there's just one or two things there, and then 15, and then 50, and then you can't even see anymore. Like, just things just naturally tend to accumulate there. How do we declutter hotspots? So again, we are going to create a rule, and we're going to think about how these hotspots get to be. Almost every hotspot that you have is because you haven't made a decision yet about the item and you don't know where to put it while you're deciding, which is why we have the Sunday basket. That's where you put all of the small things and all the little papers. But these are things that don't fit in the Sunday basket, so you haven't made a decision. And the other thing is, you have not changed your space to accommodate your daily life. So two things. One, they're decisions that you haven't made yet. Or two, you've not changed your living space to accommodate your daily living. So one of the things that I did just a couple weeks ago was I had accumulated a whole bunch of pandemic supplies. You know, the Lysol wipes things. Don't worry, I don't have Lysol wipes, but they came out with these one-to-go packets. I saw them at Costco and I bought them so that you have like hand sanitizer and a wipe, so it's better in a purse. And then there's hand sanitizer, which for a period of time, Greg and I bought every time we went anywhere. Limit one, so we would buy one. Masks. We have masks. We have cloth masks. We have regular just medical masks. We have all the masks. All these pandemic supplies. So, as you remember, when the world shut down and we all got sent home and we would only go out for food, masks, and hand sanitizer, when you brought them home, you, like me, probably didn't have a pandemic cabinet in your house or a mask and hand sanitizer bucket. I didn't have any of those things. You probably didn't either. So when I was cleaning out my kitchen cabinet where I had been shoving these things for the last 4 or 5 months in September, I realized that Greg had a couple of hand sanitizers. I had them in three different locations. When we pulled it all out, it was ridiculous. What we had amassed. We had different kinds of masks. We had different kinds of gloves. And they were all in different places because we would buy limit one and we'd bring it home and then we would shove it somewhere because we didn't have a pandemic gloves, mask, hand sanitizing area. And then we would go to the store and be like, I think we're out of hand sanitizer. And we'd buy another one. When I pulled it all out and created a whole cabinet in our laundry room, Greg was like, okay, I think we're done buying hand sanitizer. I said, yep, I think we're done. Most of them are little sample ones, individual ones that we keep in our purse and in our car, but we have a couple of big ones to fill it from as well. I'm not a hoarder. The reason you can't get hand sanitizer is not because I have hand sanitizer. I've seen hand sanitizer everywhere. I do not have Lysol wipes. Do not come to my house. I did not hoard anything, but we need masks. I mean, I wear masks every time I leave the house and we're requiring them at our office. So I have all the kinds. And, you know, the kids don't necessarily remember where theirs are or buy them. And so they're always asking for more. I need to have them on hand, right? But I didn't have a space for them. And so they became part of the hotspot. I have a cabinet. It's a hotspot cabinet. Things like this go in it. when I bought the pandemic supply of puzzles. They didn't have anywhere to go, by the way. So I had to decide. Normally, I buy, you know, two or three puzzles at a time. I do them. I give them to my mother-in-law. That's my puzzle assortment. I don't have a place where I store puzzles because I don't keep them after I'm done with them. I give them to my mother-in-law. She does them. Then she hands them off to the ladies at her church, and they do them. And the puzzles just go down the puzzle train. I don't know where they end, but they don't stay here. Now I've got 25 puzzles. I had to create a cabinet for the puzzles and know where they were, so I remembered what I had already bought. You see what I'm saying? This is how hotspots happen. We change our buying habits, we change our living habits, and the change becomes visible in the hotspots. So on your kitchen counter, when you get a Sunday basket, all the papers and the little things end up in there and they get actioned on Sunday. But things that still end up on our kitchen counter is when I get a wild hair and I decide I'm actually going to make a dinner, which almost never happens, but I do buy the stuff once in a while. There's no cabinet to put it in because I don't normally do the cooking. And as soon as I put it away, I'll forget I bought it and then I'll never make it. So right now I have like Kodiak protein pancakes, which I'm now remembering I bought a month ago to make pancakes for dinner, breakfast for dinner. Of course, I didn't do that. And the reason I didn't do it is because that pancake mix got put into a cabinet and I don't go in the cabinet. So there you have it. That's why I leave it on the kitchen counter, because if you want me to make it, it better be on the kitchen counter. If I don't see it, I'm not going to do it. So what we need to do, which is what I ended up doing, was at that time, Joey moved home and we created a cabinet, one shelf in a cabinet that is just for Joey's food. So when Joey wants to go find his food, it's on there. I don't even need a cabinet because we know I'm not going to cook anything. So my pancakes are in on his shelf in his cabinet. What about your garage or your laundry room or the back hall? You know, wherever the coats and the keys and the backpacks get dropped. One of the things I observed as a professional organizer was that often people would have really nice coat closet areas or drop zone areas where you could hang up all your backpacks. But what ended up happening was the kids and the family would actually drop the backpacks in the family room or in their bedrooms or somewhere entirely else. And that's the other reason why you have these hotspots. The way we use our house is not how our organizational systems are set up. So while I've got a great back hallway where we hang everything up when you go in and out of the garage door when you're being driven to school, when the kids used to ride the bus, they would go in and out of the front door, which is only like, I don't know, 10 feet away. It's not that far away. How hard is it to go in the back hall and get your backpack and go out the front door? Apparently epically hard, like so hard. It's so hard that we would forget everything for school. And I decided that it was easier for me to look at two backpacks, lunchboxes, and coats sitting by the front door every night than it was for me to drive up to school once a week because we forgot something. So if you find that you are driving up to school or we're forgetting things or we can't find things, it's probably because while your solution may be beautiful and organized and decorative, it's not functional, and so people are forgetting things. And so for a couple of years, we just had the backpacks literally sit by the front door with a little note that said, grab your coat, grab your lunch. And then we had 95% success rate. If my kids had stayed in public school and on buses, I would have just put hooks in the front hall behind the front door, because it would just be easier to have them hanging there as it is to have them hanging in the back hallway. And we don't have people over very often. Nobody's having anybody over because of the pandemic, but I always have these grand visions. And in my mind, I think we have friends over all the time for dinner parties. And I'm pretty sure we've done that like 5 times ever. And so my house is always like decorated and ready for these fictitious dinner parties that never materialize. Go ahead and make your house function for how you use it every day. And then when you do have that dinner party in 2022 or whenever we're going to be allowed to have those again, then instead of having kids hang their backpacks and coats in the front hall, just have your guests put their coats there or their purses or whatever and use it in that way. I will say having our back hall with like 15 hooks in the back when I have had parties in the past, it's been great because every woman can hang up their coat and their purse like they're in preschool and then come into the party. So it works just fine. Hotspots in your laundry room, in your bedroom, in your garage. These are things that you are in process. They're really Sunday basket piles, physical Sunday basket piles. Things that needed to be mended, returned, put in the basement, added to the yard. Like if you buy fertilizer or whatever, you get it out of your car because you need your car empty so you can go to the grocery store again or whatever you need your car empty for. And you get it into the house or the garage, the laundry room, your bedroom. And that's as far as you get it because then you have to make dinner, do dishes, read a book, anything other than what you just bought and brought into the house. How do you get rid of those hotspots? How do you declutter those hotspots? Those were very challenging for me. And what I realized was I aspirationally purchase things. You may do this too, but you didn't realize it's what you're doing. So I like to go walk all the aisles of Target or Walmart. I haven't done it in years, but this is what I used to do as a stay-at-home mom when Greg would come home from work. I would go and I'd walk every single aisle there was at Meijer, which are a lot of aisles and they cover everything except for dry cleaning. And that's about it. Like you can get everything done at Walmart. I mean, at Meijer, you can get paint, you can get everything. So I'd go up and down every single aisle and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to paint this room. So I'd get a quart of paint. I'm going to do this project. So I'd get that thing. And I would come home and I would have everything I needed to do projects, but I didn't have time to do projects. So what I had were aspirational piles in my bedroom, in my laundry room, in my basement, and in my garage. And every time I walked by those piles, I thought to myself, oh yeah, I want to be doing that project. And it did not give me joy. It gave me stress because I was like, oh, I really want to get to that project. And then as our finances started to decline, then I felt even worse because I'm like, shoot, I already bought the stuff for that project, but I haven't even done that project yet. And I could have used that money for something else that we're doing this week, but I already bought the stuff for that project and I haven't even done it yet. And there was a period of time, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, where I drew a line in the sand and I said, okay, no more projects. I cannot buy anything anymore for projects until the day I'm ready to do the project. So if I'm going to the store to buy something for a project, that means when I get home, I'm starting the project. This hugely helped me. It took me 18 months to get through all of the projects that I had already purchased. I stopped myself from buying anything new, and I started doing the projects that I had. The first thing I had to do was identify how many different projects I'd already bought stuff for. And I put those in bins or boxes and I labeled them and I made them on a list. And I actually moved the stuff that I had already bought into the basement storage room and out of the family room and my bedroom and the laundry room and the garage. And I put them in one place and I made a list. And every time I wanted to do a project, I could do any project I wanted that I had already purchased and the things were in the house. So I went and I did all of those. And at the end of that time, there were probably 5 or 6 projects that I had bought all of the things for that I ended up donating and not doing because I realized I was never going to do them. And they were aspirational purchases. They were either more decorated, more perfect than me. I could tell you right now, I made an aspirational purchase during the pandemic and it was one of those silhouette crickety things. And I got all of the different stickery vinyl stuff that you use with it. So I bought this 6 months ago. And I bought it because the world was shutting down and I didn't know what I was going to do with Abby. And if I was ever going to perfectly letter everything in this house and make beautiful labels, it would be during the pandemic. All of this stuff is still sitting in its box and I am sick at how much money I spent on it. Now, I do think that Abby and I are eventually going to do it, but I did just move all of it into the basement last week. So the odds of us doing it anytime soon are getting less and less. But we might do it this winter and I'll be happy that I purchased it, but I paid way too much money for it. It was a total aspirational purchase that I made just like I used to do the last decade when I was bored and nervous and didn't know how I was going to spend my time. And so I bought this thing because I would love it if my house looked like Martha Stewart and everything was perfectly labeled. You should know that there's very little labeling in this house whatsoever. And any labeling that I have is done with a Dymo label maker. So this may be a great time this winter to just go through all the projects that you've already purchased. Do the things that you're going to do and donate the things that you're not going to do. And then when you're ready to make your next project purchase, make sure you're actually going to get ready and get started on that project right away. I have since moved this on into my audiobook and my physical book category as well. I always have an audiobook, a physical book, and a Kindle book ready to go. And I have an Audible subscription, but I have made the rule for myself that I may not download and use a credit to buy a new audiobook until the last audiobook is done and I'm ready to start listening to the audiobook. Otherwise, what happens is I have multiple audiobooks open at once, and audiobooks are not inexpensive, I can tell you that, and then I don't end up finishing them. So I want to wait until I'm ready to read the book. When I'm ready to read a book, I order it on Amazon, it's here the next day, and I start reading it the next day. Or I go to the bookstore. And then Audible, I don't download the book until I'm ready to start listening. This will eliminate hotspots on your bookshelves, on your kitchen counter, on your drop zone, in your coat area, in your bedroom, in your laundry room, everywhere. So take a look at where you are accumulating projects or things that you have not made decisions about, things that you're ready to declutter, but you aren't 100% sure, or you've pulled this pile over and it's ready to go to Goodwill, but you have to ask somebody in your house. Ask them, move it out, move those things out. If you're finding piles in different parts of your house, think about, is this a new thing that I've started doing recently and I need to have a new way to store it, or it doesn't have a home like my pandemic cabinet that I needed to make? So when you're looking at your hotspots, three things. Are they projects that you're deferring? Are they decisions you haven't finished making? Or are they new items that don't have a home and need to find a home? Have a great week.